baseball's in good hands in the future here, and again, it was kind of fun to be a part of that for as long as I was able to, and to really kind of get to see that changeover of, again, you're the young guy, and when you leave, you're not so young anymore.
Welcome to episode 267 of Alberta Dugout Stories, the podcast. I'm Joe McFarland. I know we usually have new episodes ready for you every Thursday, but this interview was just too good to wait any longer to get to you. Andrew Albers spent 13 seasons in professional baseball, including parts of 5 years in the majors with the Minnesota Twins, Toronto Blue Jays, and Seattle Mariners. His career also included a number of international stops. The North Battleford, Saskatchewan product was also a fixture of the Baseball Canada roster, playing in several major events, including the Pan Am Games, the Baseball World Cup, and most recently, the 2023 World Baseball Classic. His baseball journey has also come full circle recently, as the former Saskatoon Yellow Jacket is now back in that city as the pitching coach of the new Saskatoon Berries of the Western Canadian Baseball League. Albers made the trek west to Vauxhall Academy of Baseball for their recent awards banquet, where he served as the special guest speaker. Our Ian Wilson was able to track him down for what turned out to be a wonderful and candid conversation.
Welcome to the podcast, Andrew.
Thanks for having me, Ian. Appreciate it.
I want to get into Saskatoon. There's a lot with Saskatoon I want to get into. It's going to be exciting to have you back in Saskatchewan and in the Western Canadian Baseball League. But before we get to that, I'd like to kind of travel back in time and actually just to the beginning for you with baseball, and really what kind of got you into the sport.
My dad used to play when I was younger. I grew up in North Battleford, Saskatchewan, and they had a senior men's team here by the name of the North Battleford Beavers that he played on quite a bit when I was younger, and that's kind of how I first started playing, I guess, between that and watching the Blue Jays on TV with him and just kind of having chats about the game while it was going on, and kind of fostered a love for baseball in me and had some success at an early age, so really enjoyed playing it and just continued to pursue it from there.
When did you get a sense that you were not just good at the game, but probably good enough to maybe get an education out of it or go pro? Or when did that kind of sink in for you?
I think probably in high school. You don't really think about those things leading up in when you're younger, and you know, you just obviously you can have some success there, and that doesn't always translate when you get older. But I think once I got to be about 16, 17 and had some opportunities start to open up as far as playing in things like the Canada Cup with Team Saskatchewan and having some success there and getting an invitation to try out for the junior national team, some things like that. I think that's kind of when it was like, okay, this might be a realistic possibility where I might get an opportunity to go to school down south and from there, you know, possibly play pro ball. Obviously, those are always the aspirations. You always think in your own mind that that's going to happen. However, until you actually go through it, you don't realize how difficult that journey is. So knowing what I know now, would I have thought the same things? Maybe not, but certainly had those aspirations in high school and in college.
When you got to, you went to school in Kentucky, and when you got there, walk me through that experience a little bit. What were you studying at the time? And obviously you pitched pretty well there as well.
I went in undecided. So I gave myself a year to figure it out. You could take kind of those general arts and science classes that first year. And I was either going to go into education or into communications and either try to teach or be a broadcaster. Eventually I landed on teaching, on the education side. So I got my degree in education there. And Kentucky was a great experience for me from a baseball standpoint. I certainly took my lumps there. As a freshman, I was fortunate that they had faith in me to start me pretty much every weekend. I got off to a great start. My first four or five starts went really, really well. Unfortunately, then we got into conference, and Kentucky plays in what's arguably the best conference in the country there in the Southeastern Conference, and faced Georgia, Tennessee, and Florida, and Tennessee and Florida went to the College World Series that year and had a few rough starts there. So it was kind of an eye-opening experience for me where it was really the first time I'd failed at that, well, that greatly, I guess. It was, like I said, it was an atrocious three starts. Yeah. So it was time, had to figure some things out. And I was fortunate that, to be honest, we weren't very good that year, and so they stuck with me and gave me more opportunities to try to figure those things out. And my second and third years went a little bit better. And then my senior year was pretty good. So I was fortunate. I had a tremendous pitching coach by the name of Gary Henderson there, who without him, I don't have the same career that I did. So fortunate to be around him for 4 years and learn from him. And that really helped me throughout my pro ball career going forward.
One of the things that really, like, when you stop by your Wikipedia page and you look through your baseball reference page, it really jumps off the map how much of a workout your passport got through your career. you get drafted by the Padres in 2008, and then you have Tommy John surgery in 2009. What was that like, just in terms of handling that adversity? Like, you're pretty fresh into a pro career, and then you're hit with that.
Yeah, that was really frustrating. Certainly some dark times from a career perspective. But at the same time, looking back on it, it may have been somewhat of a blessing in disguise. I ended up getting hurt pretty much right as I went down to San Diego. I felt great all senior year, took a couple weeks off before the draft, and then once I started throwing again, had a little twinge in my elbow that just never went away, and tried to do the rest and rehab thing over the offseason, It still just didn't go away. So finally in spring, eventually ended up having the Tommy John surgery, and rehab from that really didn't go very well at the start. And I remember it was, like I said, it was a real struggle early on. I couldn't get my range of motion back. It was really frustrating. For the first time in my life, baseball had kind of been taken away. But when I look back on it now, it gave me a little bit different perspective on things, and as far as the enjoyment of the game and understanding that there's more to life than just baseball. And I used to take failure really, really hard in college and even going into pro ball and things like that. And not to say that I still didn't, but a little bit less, just realizing that, you know, baseball isn't everything in life. For me, there were times in my life that it was, and that, you know, depending on how baseball went, that was kind of how I went. But having it taken away from me, going through that struggle, just not even knowing if I'd ever play again, but just wanting to be able to move my arm and do other activities coming out of rehab or coming out of the surgery, you know, it really kind of changed my perspective and helped me enjoy the game a lot more once I was able to play. And I think going forward, that was something that I always tried to maintain, was that new perspective of, you know, good or bad, life's going to go on, and there will be a tomorrow, and things are going to be all right. So it allowed me to hopefully relax a little bit and perform a little bit better, you know, than just being too tense and worrying too much about the results.
Well, yeah, that's a lot to go through, and we're just getting started on your resume too. You had an interesting landing spot. A kind of turnaround in 2010 with the Quebec Capitals, 3-0, 17 saves, 1.40 ERA, a bit of an unconventional route back to, trying to get to the majors. But what was that season like?
Yeah, so actually after my Tommy John surgery, I ended up throwing live batting practice one time for the Padres, and then that proved that I was healthy, and then they called me to the office at least the next day. That was an eye-opener. Getting exposed to the business side of baseball that early was, it can be a little bit of an ugly side, and I didn't understand it at the time, and certainly took that hard. It was frustrating. You feel like the dream has kind of come possibly crashing to a halt right there, and not real sure what to do. And luckily, got some good advice from my agent, and he found me a place to play in Quebec, and again, wasn't real sure how the arm was going to respond coming off of Tommy John and not having thrown even in a game since then. Fortunately, Pat Scalabrine, the coach in Quebec, saw something in me, and he kept me around, and I was able to have a really good year. And, you know, it couldn't have gone much better, and even then, I still didn't have a job offer coming out of that. That led to an interesting spring training in 2011. I was trying to latch on with an affiliated club, and there weren't any offers out there, despite the season that I had had in Quebec. Felt like really that was about as good as I could pitch. Everything had kind of gone right. I'd thrown the ball really well. Obviously, the numbers were there to back it up. And still, there were no takers for a 25-year-old left-hander that didn't throw real hard as a reliever, all those things. So talking to my agent again, we set up some open tryouts in Arizona. A lot of times, teams will have open tryouts before spring training. It's tough to get invites to spring out of those just because most teams are trying to contract their rosters, not expand them. So unless you really show something special, it's really tough to get an opportunity out of that. So I actually called up my college coach, Gary Henderson there, who was now the head coach of Kentucky at that time, and asked him, if I was going to go do this, I wanted to be able to go all in. And it was just something where if it didn't work out, that was one thing, but wanted to know that I'd done everything in my power to make sure that I gave myself the best opportunity to allow it to work out. So I called him up and asked him if I could come down to Lexington a couple weeks before those tryouts just to get outside and and to throw off a real mound and to throw to some hitters, because obviously in North Battleford, Saskatchewan, that wasn't much of an option. I was throwing off a couple of aerobics mats and a cinder block wall, and that's how I was getting ready for it. But figured, you know, I should at least get outside and get on a real mound and get some spikes and whatnot. And he said, yeah, no problem. That would be fine. So I actually took my car and I drove it down to Phoenix, Arizona from North Battleford. It was about 27 hours, and I hopped on a flight and flew from Phoenix over to Lexington. While I was in Lexington, Gary made a couple phone calls for me and brought out a couple twin scouts, an area guy and a cross checker, to come watch me throw to some hitters. They liked what they saw, but again, spring training is a tough time to get an invitation anywhere. And, you know, we were talking back and forth, and it's like, we're just not sure if we could do anything for you right now. Don't have the roster space, things like that. And it was like, okay. So they told me, go back, do your open tryouts in Arizona, and if nothing happens, give us a call. So I flew back to Phoenix, Arizona, and had tryouts lined up with the Cardinals, the Brewers, and the Rockies. And the Cardinals one got canceled the day before, so that one didn't end up happening. Then threw a bullpen for the Brewers, and they came back and felt like I could use a little bit more time in independent ball, which was kind of a nice way of saying, we don't think you're quite good enough right now. That was fine. And then the Rockies was a big open tryout where there were about 50 guys there, and it was, you know, your tryout was 15 total pitches. You threw 5 pitches to 3 different guys, and that was kind of it. And, that didn't really accentuate my skill set very well, being that I wasn't a guy that threw hard or didn't have a lot of devastating secondary stuff. So didn't think anything would come from that, and it didn't. So I called the Twins guys back up and asked where we were at. And there was just a lot of little red tape that they needed me to cut through. You know, they wanted me to take a medical. They wanted me to throw for some guys higher up in the organization. They had to buy out my independent ball contract, which wasn't a big deal for them, but, you know, just another thing to add. And just a lot of little things that were kind of working against me. And, you know, they were thinking about flying me over in a few days to do all that stuff and then making a decision then. And I actually had a friend that was living in Fort Myers at the time that said, well, you know, if you need a place to crash, you can come crash here. Why don't you just drive? And so I looked at Google Maps, and the drive from Phoenix, Arizona to Fort Myers, Florida is about, I think it's, I don't know if it's 36 or 42 or something. It was long. Anyways, it was really, really long.
Yeah.
And so I called them back up and I said, hey, how about this? I'll hop in my car since you guys can't fly me out there for a few days anyways. I'll hop in my car tomorrow, make the trip. I'll throw for wherever you want, take your medicals, do whatever you need me to do. You know, again, just looking for an opportunity. And I said, if you guys don't like me enough to give me a shot, you know, I'll drive home on my own dime. And if you do, you can reimburse me for my travel. And that's good. So the cross-checker guy by the name of Tim O'Neill made a couple phone calls, called me back about 10 minutes later. He said, yeah, okay, that'll work. And hopped in my car that morning or the next morning and made that trek over to Fort Myers. And luckily that one went pretty well for me. They liked me enough to give me an invitation to spring training, and managed to make a team a couple weeks out of camp once my visa got in, and was able to work my way up through that organization. So really thankful to the Twins for giving me that opportunity. And without that, I don't know if I have a career, let alone the career that I did.
That's pretty wild. Couple questions out of that, and thanks for sharing all that. What vehicle were you driving at the time? And do they actually reimburse you? Like, do they give you mileage for driving all that way?
So I was driving a 2004 Buick LeSabre. It was an absolute boat, but pretty smooth ride on the highways. And once they invite you to spring training, they reimburse your mileage because they pay for everyone to get down to spring. Yeah. So that was basically my trip to spring.
Okay. Well, at least you got your gas money paid for.
At least I got my gas money. But that was the thing. If they wouldn't have given me the invitation to spring, I would have probably just gone on my own.
And
you know, that was fine. Like I said before, I just wanted to make sure that I gave myself every opportunity to where if it worked out, great. If it didn't work out, at least I knew that I had exhausted all of the things that I could do.
Yeah.
I remember just thinking I didn't want to have to look myself in the mirror 10 years later and wonder what if. What if I would have done this or what if I would have done that at the time? And luckily, you know, I'm fortunate enough to where I don't have to do that now. Took that plunge and it worked out well for me.
The other thing I'm wondering in this time is what's your mindset like at this time? Are you just feeling... I like just compelled that, like you said, I have to see this through. I've got to know. Or are you like, you know, like you said, you're throwing 5 pitches for a scout, and that, like, it's got to be demoralizing in there as well.
I guess as an eternal optimist, you're just looking for a shot.
Yeah.
And I felt like if I could get a shot, I felt like I could pitch in AA. I thought I could compete in AA. I didn't know if I could go any higher than that. Once you get to AA, you're pretty close. And some things changed in my career when I got to pro ball. Learned how to throw a better slider that kind of changed my game. That helped propel me to give me the opportunities that it did later on. But, like, I felt like where I was at that point, I could compete in double A. I felt like I was good enough to do that. After that, I wasn't sure, but just wanted to know. And again, just didn't want to have that regret of wondering what if later on down the road, and what if I would have done this or offered to do that or things of that nature. Yeah. And just wanted to make sure that, again, it was more that I knew that I had done everything that I could to make it work. And if it didn't work out, I think I could have lived with that, knowing that I had done everything I could. I think I would have really struggled with it, knowing that I could have maybe done more.
In 2011, you were pitched for Canada at the Pan Am Games. You win gold. What was that experience like? You have a pretty extensive international resume, but I assume that was quite a whirlwind as well.
Yeah, that was special. That's one of my favorite nights in my baseball career, probably top three or four. It was my first opportunity to get to play with the national team. I had missed out on playing for the junior national team. I got hurt the year that I was selected to try out. So it was my first experience with them, and it was great because I went there and pitched really well. We went to it was called the Baseball World Cup back then. Now it's called the Premier 12. We attended that before the Pan Am Games and had pretty good success. We had a pretty good group of guys, some older guys that had some experience that were really good ball players that maybe just didn't, get the right opportunity at the right time, or their careers didn't quite fall right. But we had a great group. I think we finished fourth at the Baseball World Cup, maybe third. I think it was third, sorry. And then we played the Pan Ams, and at that point in time, Cuba still had really strong teams because not everybody was leaving to go to the States to play in the big leagues. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit different now, but, they had Jose Abreu was on that team, and Yoenis Cespedes was on that team in 2011, and they could really play. And we were fortunate that the States beat Cuba in the other semifinal. We ended up beating Mexico, and then I actually got to start the gold medal game in 2011 for Canada. And again, it was just a point in time in my career where I felt really confident because things were kind of going my way. I'd had a really good season in A-ball and double-A, and just the international stuff, it had continued. And we were fortunate we were able to beat the U.S. 2-1, and that was a really special night.
What do you remember from that night, especially just the end of it, the celebration? I mean, beating teams like Cuba and the U.S. Or competing with them even at that stage and at that time is no easy feat.
Yeah, and again, if we play that game 10 times, the U.S. maybe wins 6 or 7 of them. But we had a good team. Like we were competitive with them. We were right there. That tournament is non-40-man roster, guys. So teams like the Dominican and Venezuela and the States, they don't send their best teams. And not that we had our very best team there, but we didn't lose as much depth as what they would have, right? So we just had a really good group in that area that was, I guess, good enough to play in that tournament, but also bad enough to play in that tournament. If that makes any sense.
Yep.
So we just had a really good group that year. Those next 3 or 4 years, we had some really good international teams that did really well in those tournaments. And it was just a really good group of guys that really grinded it out, that played just good, fundamentally sound baseball. And they were there for the right reasons. They were there to win games, and it really paid off. It showed in how we played together and the chemistry that we had. And those are some of the better friendships that I have made throughout my career playing baseball.
By 2013, you're working your way up through the Twins organization. You finally make your major league debut August 6th of 2013. 8 1/3 for the win. Second game out is a complete game shutout over Cleveland. I'm curious, first of all, obviously, about the debut, because that's, you're there. You're at the show. It's the dream realized. What do you remember from that? And then what do you remember just from that second start as well?
You talk about fairy tales and thinking that, it's too good to be true, and it really was, especially, again, for a guy like me that wasn't a highly touted prospect. Nobody was expecting much from in the call-ups. You hope you can give your team a chance to win. Again, it was another stretch of my career where things were going really well, and I think I only struck out 4 guys in those 2 games combined, so it's not like I was blowing the ball by everybody. They were just hitting it at guys. So I was able to get off the barrel and get a lot of soft contact and a lot of ground balls, and they just didn't find holes those 2 nights. And I remember the debut going out. Lorenzo Cain was the first guy I faced, and I just remember thinking for pitch one, wanted to make sure I threw a strike on the first pitch of my career, and luckily was able to do that. And I had actually had some buddies travel from home, and when I walked out, they were shirtless with Albers painted on the chest and hooting and hollering, so that helped me kind of settle in and relax a little bit. It was really humid that day, and I threw probably the worst pregame bullpen of my life that day. And it was really hot and humid. I think I can say this now, being that it's not as much of a thing anymore, but, like, went into the locker room, and there's a certain sunscreen that you can use that when you combine it with rosin, it gives you a little bit of tact on your fingers. It's called right. Bullfrog. And so I put some of that on. I'd never used it before, but when I threw my pen, I mean, the ball was going everywhere. and we had gotten beat pretty bad the night before, so we used a lot of our bullpen arms. And I was just thinking, man, our poor pitching coach has to be like, what the hell are we doing right now? We're going to send this kid out. He has no idea where it's going. So I don't know if he had somebody being ready to get up in the first, but he probably wasn't too far away from it anyways after he saw that pen. And luckily, you know, got Lorenzo Cain out. He was the first guy hit. Hosmer ended up hitting just an absolute laser up the middle as batter number two. And then managed to get Billy Butler to ground into a double play. And all of a sudden, before you know it, I think I got the next 15 guys out, and we're in the sixth inning. And the debut has gone really well. We score some runs, so we have a cushion. And then we go to the ninth, and who is it? I think Alcides Escobar hits a first pitch single up the middle. Get Lorenzo Cain to hit a ground ball to third base. We try to turn the double play. Bang, bang, play at first, and they call him safe. And if they call him out, I probably get a complete game shutout there too. And I remember still being upset about that to this day. I'm still sure he was out. But, you know, unfortunately, call didn't go our way, and I ended up walking the next guy. And I was exhausted by then. Again, hot and humid night. I think it was at 107 pitches and something around there, and it was a good move to take me out. But it would have been really nice to finish it. And you think after that game, man, it can't really get much better than that. And then probably have the best start of my career the next game against Cleveland. Two-hit complete game shutout. And just, again, it was another thing where everything was working right. I felt like I had really good command. I could throw the ball wherever I wanted to, execute whatever pitch I wanted to, whenever I wanted to. And usually when you feel like that, you have pretty good nights.
Who are the guys in that locker room for the Twins that, when you get to the show, really kind of welcomed you in? Were you just kind of trying to keep your head down and not look at anyone or looking at your shoes? Or were there any guys who came up to you and really, like, just helped you settle in?
Yeah, I was really fortunate. Justin Morneau was on that team.
Yeah.
And he was another fellow Canadian guy. We had played together in the World Baseball Classic earlier that year in 13, so I knew him a little bit. But he really took me under his wing when I got there, and, you know, took me out to some dinners and some things like that, and showed me around a couple of the cities. But really, he exemplified what it was to be a pro, and getting there early and getting your work in. And obviously, the guy, he, at that point in time, he was 9 or 10 years into a career. He had an extremely good career. He was an MVP. Had won multiple-time All-Star. Had won a home run derby. All those great things. But, you know, he was. You could really see why he was able to do all those things by how he went about his business on a daily, every day, I guess.
Yeah.
He was willing to put in the extra time. He was willing to put in the extra work. He was an outstanding leader. And again, I was really thankful that he took me under his wing. Joe Mauer was also there when I got called up. He's might be the nicest human being you'll ever meet in your life. It's just crazy how humble he is and how just genuine that he is. So having those two guys in the locker room, kind of being the leaders of that team, that was huge for me, getting called up and getting to see, you know, two definitely all-star players. Joe might end up being a Hall of Famer. I don't know if Justin quite had a long enough career to get that far, but certainly at the peaks of their careers, they were two of the best players in baseball. And watching those guys go about their business on a daily basis, it was fun to watch and special to see. And you know, when your best players are your hardest workers, things tend to go well, and that's why they had so much success, or I think that's why they had so much success in Minnesota for as long as they did.
Of course, after that 2013 season, smooth sailing, no hiccups, everything goes without a hitch. No, I'm being sarcastic, obviously. No, 2014 though is an interesting year for you. You end up in Korea. And then you're signed by the Jays as well. I'm just curious about Korea first, maybe. What was it like pitching over there? What's the atmosphere like? And how was that, any culture shock there? Just all of it.
Yeah, so I ended up in Korea because, to be honest, I didn't think I was going to be able to make the big league team out of camp. They ended up signing Ricky Nolasco and Phil Hughes in the offseason. taking up a couple of rotation spots because they'd had a tough year the year before, and I just was kind of on the outside looking in of trying to be able to make that team. And the Korea opportunity came up, and it's kind of a life-changing opportunity where it was tough to say no, so I ended up over there and unfortunately didn't have a good year. I really struggled. We didn't have a very good team, and I didn't pitch very well, and that didn't help matters. A little bit of a culture shock, sure. It's obviously a different culture down there. They do things a little bit differently, but it was more just that I didn't perform up to my capability that season. And so it was a frustrating year that year. I had a couple little injuries where, you know, you didn't feel great, but at the same time, you still got to find a way to get guys out, and I wasn't really able to do that. So 14 ended up being a pretty frustrating year. It's tough being there by yourself. You know, you have about two other imports that are with you that you could talk to, and then that's really about it. So you better like those guys, because if you don't, it's really going to be a long season. So, you know, there were certainly some different things that went on there. But again, you know, thankful for the opportunity. The organization that I played for, the Hanwha Eagles, it's actually the organization that Hyunjin Ryu came from. So he actually came over the year that I went.
Okay.
So he was there the year before and then came over with the Dodgers in 14, and I went over to Korea, I think was his first year. So never got to play with him, but I was supposed to be his replacement, and I did not pitch up to that level, that's for sure.
Yep.
So again, frustrating year, but thankful for the opportunity. The organization was great. Getting to see baseball there, a little bit different style, a little bit different culture as far as what they do throughout the games.
Yeah,
the fans are really engaged. It's very similar to Japan in that regards, where they sing the walk-up songs instead of actually playing them. And I mean, for nine innings straight, somebody's up and cheering. It's usually the team that's up to bat. They have sections in the stadium, and they're the ones that cheer. And then the other people are respectful enough on the opposing team to let them do that. And then once their team comes up, then that's the section that cheers. And it's really neat that way. Very positive culture. Very positive interactions with fans. You know, we had a tough season. It didn't go very well, and never heard a boo out of any of the home fans. They were all incredibly respectful, all just really supported you. They really supported their team and their players, and again, in a way that's different than what we do in North America, because they're super respectful and super positive over there, and again, they respect the effort that you're putting out and what you're trying to do for them.
I'm really curious about that, because you mentioned as well you did pitch in Japan in 2018 with Oryx, Oryx Buffaloes. And I feel like as fans, when, you know, World Baseball Classic happens, we love seeing how the different fans react and how they support their teams. But as a player, and particularly a pitcher where everything's kind of hanging on everything you do, is it unnerving having that kind of raucous atmosphere, or do you just kind of get into it as well?
I think eventually you learn how to block it out, and going through that experience, you don't even end up noticing it.
Yeah.
To be honest, by the end of it, like, yeah, there's a lot of noise going on, but at the same time, once you get the baseball in your hand and that guy steps in the box, you know, the guys that are able to block all that out and focus on what they need to do in order to get a guy out, those are the guys that have success. And that takes some time to learn. It was something that I didn't do very well probably until I got to college. Fortunately for me, I got to experience some pretty raucous crowds in college. And again, different than Japan. Japan, you're getting 40,000 people there at night, and they're all making noise, but they're not yelling anything directly at you. You know, you go to Fayetteville, Arkansas, where there's 10,000 people, and yeah, they maybe don't make as much noise, but I'll tell you what, they're saying a lot more ruthless things to you than the Japanese guys are, or at least I couldn't understand the Japanese fans if they were talking to me, so it didn't matter. But, you know, some of that stuff actually sticks out a little bit more when you have a little smaller crowd and you can hear those individuals that are saying not so nice things about you and your family and things like that. But, you know, it's just different. You learn how to, again, you learn how to block all of that out and focus on what you need to do in order to be successful.
You mentioned watching Jays games with your dad, and you get signed by that organization. And what was it like to be, you know, on Canada's team, so to speak?
I ended up getting called up, I think it was in May. They had an extra inning game the night before. It was my day to start in AAA, so they needed some arms in case they got in trouble in Cleveland. So we were in Buffalo. That was the AAA team for the Jays at that point in time. I think I got a call at about 9 in the morning, and they said, hey, we're going to send you a car. It's going to drive you to Cleveland. You're going to suit up for tonight's game in case, you know, they need you. I was like, all right, great. So car came at about 9 a.m., hopped in it. I think we got to Cleveland about 12 or 1. I get to the locker room, you know, game's at 6 or 7 o'clock that night, and get ready for the game, do some, watch some videos and things like that just to figure out who's in that lineup and all of that good stuff. And unfortunately, Mark Burley doesn't have a great start. I come in for him in the fifth and don't have the balls to shake Russ Martin off and throw an 0-1 changeup that I probably shouldn't have thrown, and he gets hit out of the ballpark for a three-run homer with two of Mark's guys on base. And after that, the rest of the outing goes well, but that's kind of a dagger and a game killer, and we end up losing and get called in the office that night after the game and say, hey, you know, we need a fresh arm for tomorrow. We're going to send you back down to AAA, and unfortunately, the rest of that season in AAA didn't go very well for me. So, got my one day with the Jays. There's pictures to prove it. Not very many, but they are out there, and thankful for that, that they gave me that opportunity, and thankful that I did get that opportunity, because it really was a dream come true, you know, getting to play for Canada's team, and even though it was an incredibly short tenure, something that nobody can take away from you.
Few more questions for you, Andrew. I know you've got another engagement coming up here, but really appreciate your time. You do bounce around the majors. You get a stop, another stop with the Twins. I think you had three with the Twins. You were in the Braves organization, the Mariners at the end. 2022 with the Mariners was, did you kind of have a sense that the injuries were like it's you're getting near the end there, or what? Where were you at mentally? And just physically at that point?
Yeah, you know you're starting to get to the end. In 2021, I played in AAA with St. Paul and then managed to get called up with the Twins. Had a tough first month. After that, it went better. But, you know, you start feeling like you're getting a little bit older. I was, I think, 36 that year. You know, I had played against my manager. I had played for my manager's dad. I had played against my pitching coach. I was older than our strength staff, and I'm just looking around, and I'm like, oh, man. I think we had two other guys that were in their 30s. I think I played against one guy in the minors that year that was older than me, and it was the knuckleballer Stephen Wright. And I was just looking around. I'm like, holy smokes, what am I doing here? Like, I have no business still hanging on and playing. And so, you know, it's starting to come to an end. I think that realization hit me that year. I really enjoyed that season, getting to come back to the States and play one more year and getting to be around those guys. And then, of course, getting called up to the majors one more time and getting one more win for the Twins, since I hadn't gotten a win for them since those very first two starts that we talked about earlier. I think it was over, I don't know, 13 or 1,400 days in between wins, which I don't think it's a record, but it's up there. And
did it feel like your MLB debut kind of all over again, or what was the vibe like for that?
No, a little bit different. I mean, you've been through it before. It was a thing where I got called up to pitch against the Yankees out of the pen, and then got a start because the outing against the Yankees went pretty well. And so then got a start the next time out. And so super thankful to get that start, and it was a great opportunity and was excited about it. But, you know, I had been there often enough now where it was definitely a different feel.
Yeah.
than the debut. Again, pitched well. Things went well. We scored a couple runs, so got one more W, which was nice. That was the last one. And then ended up getting sent up and down the rest of that year and pitching kind of on a regular basis. And unfortunately, at the end of the year, the elbow started barking a little bit. So I went and got a scope done at the end of the year. And unfortunately, just didn't really recover well from it. And went into 2022. That was the year of the strike. And that one kind of affected me because I couldn't negotiate with teams because of my time in the big leagues that year. I was put on the restricted list of, you know, while that strike was going on, I wasn't able to talk to teams. So signed late with the Mariners, went down and took a physical. The elbow still wasn't feeling great. I was hoping, you know, if I could get into camp and get some regular treatment and get throwing, that things would kind of turn around and would start feeling better. Unfortunately, you know, they did some imaging on my elbow and also my hips. I've got some issues with the hips, and they said, no, we just don't think you're going to be able to stay healthy. And that one was a heartbreaker. You know, you thought you maybe get one more chance, one more opportunity at it. Unfortunately, didn't have time to go get a second opinion to make it worthwhile. And again, the elbow just never really did feel much better. In 2023, I was fortunate enough to get one more opportunity to play with Team Canada in the World Baseball Classic. Was able to get it going for that, but still don't know if I could have made it through a season. So it was just kind of, unfortunately, the writing was kind of on the wall there where, you know, I was good enough to where if I was feeling good and healthy enough, I felt like I could compete in AAA and in the big leagues. But, you know, if I was at 80, 90%, I was going to have a really tough time. And You know, couldn't blame the Mariners for not allowing me to play there, especially knowing how my elbow felt. I was thankful for them for the opportunity that they gave me in 17. Certainly no hard feelings there, but yeah, just a tough way to go out and to have it end.
You mentioned last year's World Baseball Classic. Did you go into that tournament knowing, like, this is kind of it in terms of pitching at that level? And then, I mean, that was a pretty fun event, fun tournament. You probably had the best moment in baseball to finish that event last year. But specifically with Canada, what did you take away from that event?
Yeah, it's always great when you get to pitch in a tournament like that. That's really probably the premier baseball tournament in the world. Guys have really started to buy into it. That's the one tournament where the big leaguers are eligible, so you do actually get to play against country's almost best teams. I think a lot more players have started buying into it, so you're starting to see the States and the Dominican and Venezuela are showing up with really, really good baseball teams now. And, you know, so is everyone else. Mexico had a great team. Japan, obviously, they send their guys there. They're always really good. South Korea. And again, we were no slouch. We had a good team that year, or we had a good team in 2023. We were a couple outs away from being really close. If I could have gotten us two more outs in that Mexico game, it's a different game. Unfortunately, you know, a flare falls and it changes the game, and that's kind of how those games go. That's international baseball, and sometimes you get the breaks and sometimes you don't. And unfortunately, in the Mexico game, we just weren't able to get the breaks. We had some opportunities and we hit some balls hard with guys on base, and they didn't fall, and they capitalized on their opportunities. They hit some balls hard too that did find holes, and some that they didn't hit so hard that found holes, and that's just how it goes. You know, you're close there, but it was really neat to see kind of the changing of the guard with Team Canada from 2011 when I started. I was a young guy, and then all of a sudden in 2023, I'm one of the old guys and one of the veterans. And to get to see the young players that we have coming up, it's really exciting. There's a lot of talented kids playing in the minor league systems, playing pro ball right now, playing in the majors that are really good, that are from Canada. So baseball's in good hands in the future here, and again, it was kind of fun to be a part of that for as long as I was able to, and to really kind of get to see that changeover of, you know, again, you're the young guy, and when you leave, you're not so young anymore.
Speaking of being the young guy and then not being the young guy, in 2004, you're playing for the Saskatoon Yellow Jackets in the Western Major Baseball League, and you're the Rookie of the Year that season. Fast forward 20 years, you're the pitching coach of the Saskatoon Berries, the expansion Saskatoon Berries, in the Western Canadian Baseball League. Talk about kind of that full circle moment and what it's like to return to Saskatoon in this way.
Man, I don't know what kind of research you did to find out I was Rookie of the Year that year, but man, I didn't know that was out there anywhere.
Yeah.
I remember 04 having a good year in that league. I remember that. I played for the Yellow Jackets and Todd Plaxton was our manager, and I remember it going well. I didn't remember exactly how well, but you know, it's really interesting. I hadn't thought about the full circle kind of deal, but, you know, interesting to get the opportunity to come back and kind of where it really, a lot of it started for me. That was really my first experience with collegiate baseball, even playing outside of high school players. We would have been that year with the Yellow Jackets, and to get to come back to the same location, a little bit different team name and coach, it's going to be special. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to being part of the community up here again, and hopefully we can win some baseball games and have a good atmosphere for the fans and make it an enjoyable experience for everybody.
I think you might notice a little bit of a difference with some of the stadiums in the league nowadays. But
yeah, I've heard the Saskatchewan side's lagging behind just a little bit.
Well, you'll get there. We'll get there. We'll build things up for sure. Last question for you, Andrew. And again, I thank you so much for making this much time for me. We ask this of everyone who comes on the podcast. What does the game of baseball mean to you?
Meant a whole heck of a lot to me. You know, it gave me an opportunity to do a lot of things that I would have never dreamt of doing otherwise. Gave me an opportunity to travel to a lot of places and make a lot of great friendships and meet a lot of people that it wouldn't have. So I guess for me, baseball meant opportunity. Getting to do a lot of those things, opening doors for me, opening up different world views, different perspectives, all of those things. I obviously had a tremendous impact on my life and where life took me. So it was opportunity and just, getting to do so much more than I would have otherwise.
Well said. Thanks so much, Andrew, for your time today. Look forward to seeing you around the ballparks in the Western Canadian Baseball League this summer, and we'll be sure to come by and say hey to you. And yeah, thanks again.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Ian.
Thanks again to Andrew Albers for joining us, and thanks to all of you for downloading and listening. We will have another episode ready for you again on Thursday, so stay tuned for that, and make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app, as we may have more special episodes delivered to you in the weeks ahead, as baseball season here is fast approaching. A massive tip of the cap, as always, to our Platinum supporters, the Okotoks Dogs, for all they do for us and for baseball in Alberta. For more on our amazing sponsors and to learn more about how they help us cover costs like web hosting fees and newspaper subscription services, head to albertadugoutstories.com/supporters. Until next time, thank you for all of your support online, on social, and on air of Alberta Dugout Stories.